Good morning.
Good morning.
I felt like, oh, did I come up too soon? Because I was like standing here awkwardly next to Shaneen while she reads all these things about me. So yes, I work for InterVarsity. I've been a member here since December. I serve students at Northeastern and also Berklee College of Music. And I love my students. They're wonderful. And I love all of you. Thank you so much for having me. I don't know that any of you really had a choice, but I'm very grateful that, you know, the powers that be asked me to be here and to be able to, you know, preach at my church home. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you especially because I realize some of you might be thinking, like, hey, who is this person? Christine, we don't really know you. You're trying to come up here and talk about money? We don't do that, you know, like, bold move. And yeah, we're going to talk about money. And it's fair, you know, in America, we actually don't talk about money very much, especially when it comes to, like, personal finances and, like, decision making. Especially any of the white folks in the room, I know y'all were raised to not talk about money. So you're going to be a little uncomfortable. It's okay. But yeah, we're going to do it anyway. And so I picked this passage because when I was asked to preach, I was very excited. And Pastor Stephen said, we just want you to choose one of your favorite verses. And I laughed and I said, Pastor Stephen, my favorite verse from the whole Bible, you know, there's like 66 books in there. How am I supposed to pick like one verse? And the truth is I couldn't think of one, so I cheated and I asked my mom. And so this is my mom's favorite verse. I kind of thought this was what she would say, but I figured I'd ask anyway. And sure enough, she repeated this verse that I have heard her say over and over again throughout my life. And it's 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And she told me, yes, it's about financial giving, but if you are paying attention, it is really the gospel. And I think that she is right. And we are going to get there, but I'm actually going to read it for us again, so we have it again as a reference point. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So, as with any passage, we always want to ask, what does it mean? And while this passage seems pretty straightforward, it is. Through Paul, in this passage, God is just telling us that God gives to us abundantly so that we will give to others abundantly. And it is important, it starts at God giving to us abundantly. Three times in this short text, Paul mentions God will bless us abundantly, that we will be enriched in every way. In verse 10, that God, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will not only supply but increase your store of seed. Generosity begins with God. And it begins with God providing for all of our needs. Early in the passage, we are assured, you will have all that you need. Everything we have is from a loving God who generously provides. And not only will he provide just enough, but he promises that he will provide more than enough. God gives to us abundantly. Now, there are some who would preach what we would call the prosperity gospel, which is this idea that, you know, if you act the right Christian way, if you think the right Christian way, then God will bless you with health and with wealth, and that trouble will not come your way. And they might use this passage saying, look, the Bible says, whoever sows generously will reap generously. And the thing is, they are not wrong. But before you think I'm preaching something else, let's take a look again. He provides the extra for a purpose. Verse 8, God is able to bless you abundantly so that you will abound in every good work. Verse 11 says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. This passage tells us that yes, God does indeed supply, increase, enrich those who are generous so that we can give it away again. It's not actually for us to keep, to hoard, to build our wealth. Instead, it's for giving away. So I'm curious if anyone like me handed out candy as a child on Halloween. Anyone? Okay, so maybe you like have recruited your children to help you with like the trunk or treat at the hoedown or something like that. Like, as a child growing up in an evangelical family in the 90s, I was not allowed to go trick-or-treating or to participate in anything even Halloween-like unless it was labeled harvest. And so I had the job of like handing out candy to other children who were trick-or-treating. And to be honest, I actually really like this because I think there is like a special kind of joy that comes from participating in this unspoken agreement that we have as a society, that on this one night, a child can go up to a stranger's house, knock on the door, ask for candy, and actually, in fact, receive said candy for no reason whatsoever. Like, and I'll be honest, I think there is something about our Father's heart that is reflected in this, like, blind generosity. I think it is great. And so as a child, you know, I would like station myself in the living room or maybe on the front stoop with the bowl of candy that my parents had given me, and I would hand it out. And then when the bowl was empty, I would go, you know, bother my parents who had successfully pawned off the task onto their child and they were watching TV in the basement. And I would say, hey, the bowl is empty. And they would go, you know, to wherever they had like hidden the secret stash of Costco candy and refill the bowl. And I would go back to my station and keep handing out the candy. I did not buy the candy. I did not earn the candy. My parents literally just handed me a bowl of candy. When does that happen, that you hand a child a bowl of candy? And I'll admit, like, one of the reasons that this job is great is you have a bowl of candy, you can eat the candy while you're handing out the candy, right? And the other children who were coming, they didn't buy the candy, they didn't earn the candy. The candy was truly just my parents' generosity. And when they refilled the bowl, it wasn't a reward to me of good job passing it out. Now here's a whole bowl of candy for you to eat by yourself. No, it was more candy to give away to more children. And that is our job as believers. We are simply conduits, stewards of God's generosity. God gives to us abundantly. Sometimes it's candy. I would hope it was Nerds gummy clusters. Amen? Just me then. It's fine. Whatever your candy of choice is. But more often, it's money. It's time. It's your skills, your interests. Maybe it's a car, your home, other resources. And God gives those things to us abundantly so we can give to others abundantly. And when we do so, the harvest is generous. Verse 12 tells us that actually the needs of God's people will be met through generosity. And in verse 14, we see that those who receive said generosity will then pray for those who gave to them. Their hearts will go out to you. They will lift up your needs in prayer. And we see that those who give generously, it is said of them that their righteousness endures forever. That God, the supplier, will enlarge the harvest of their righteousness. And finally, what comes of it? We see not once, twice, or even three times, but four times. Praise and thanksgiving overflow to God. This is the result of believers responding to God's word in faith. God abundantly gives to us, so we will give abundantly to others. But admittedly, this can be kind of hard. It's a little bit easier sitting in a comfortable seat on a Sunday morning saying, yes, Christine, you're totally right, I should be generous, than when, say, you're sitting in a stoplight and someone taps on your window and asks if you have change that you can offer them. Or when a mom from your kid's soccer program asks if you can drive their kid even though they live 20 minutes in the opposite direction. Or when a neighbor's house burns down and they are looking for donations to start over. When someone needs house sitting while they're on vacation again. When a neighbor needs help picking up groceries. Or when another fundraising missionary joins your church. It's me, sorry. What do we do then? I do think that sometimes we say yes, but I will be honest that often I struggle to. I would rather justify myself. I want to reason with myself, check my budget. I want to tell you all about all the hard work that I did this week and how I don't have anything left to give. And just to be fair, it is true. You cannot give what you do not have. But I do actually want to challenge us a little bit on asking what are our barriers to generosity, like abundant generosity, and if they're as real as we want to believe them to be. So one that like comes to the top of my mind is that maybe your experience of God's abundance feels really limited. You know, maybe you are living paycheck to paycheck, you're barely making ends meet. Maybe you're on a limited income, it's fixed, Social Security or disability, you know, like you don't have expendable income, that's not a thing. Or maybe you're working several jobs and you just like, do not have the bandwidth for more than meeting the basic needs of yourself and your family. How are you supposed to be generous when you find yourself to be the one in need? Or maybe a barrier for you is the very common one of uncertainty and fear. Maybe you do have some expendable income, but maybe you haven't quite gotten your finances in such an order that you feel secure. You feel secure for you and your family and their future. And maybe you've even taken one of the many courses offering supposedly Christian financial advice that says, well, you know, you should have emergency savings, pay off your debt, save for retirement and college, pay off your house. Basically, find financial security, however that's defined, before you start giving. And I think, too, a barrier to our generosity can frankly just be our own limited imagination. So for years, I have followed this piece of advice someone gave me at some point to save 10%, give 10%, live off 80%. And so I make my budget and I, you know, allot my giving and I stick to it. And it basically relegates my generosity to an afterthought that's automatically withdrawn from my account each month. But what if God's abundance is so much broader? What if generosity goes beyond dollars and cents? Because not every need is financial. Maybe generosity looks like hosting people in your unused spare room or lending out your car. You know, maybe you don't have money to give, but you might have a few hours on a Saturday morning to come to your church and paint the narthex, as a random example. Maybe generosity just looks like helping an overwhelmed mother with the laundry, or just hanging out with someone who's lonely and spends most of their time by themselves. I can tell you, most of the single people in this room would probably love to have you over for dinner at their house, because we spend a lot of time by ourselves and rarely actually get to welcome people into our own home. What if what we have believed about financial planning isn't true, and security does not come from saving at a certain benchmark? What if we could actually give now, generously, no matter what your portfolio looks like? Maybe generosity looks like what a recent alum of one of my chapters did. I asked if they would consider giving, but they're going into grad school, they don't have income. But they said to me, you know, my professor, without my knowing, nominated me for an award, and I was given a lump of cash. Cool. He was like, but you know, this wasn't money I was expecting. Maybe that's what I'll give as my gift. So maybe generosity looks like giving away your bonus instead of spending it or storing it. Maybe it means yes to an ask to give to an organization you hadn't thought to give to before. Maybe it means renting your property for below market value. What if generosity was not actually something we could conveniently plan for and then forget about? What if God wanted to broaden our imagination and our capacity? Maybe generosity looks like taking a more modest vacation and helping a friend pay rent while they hunt for a job. Maybe generosity looks like blowing the lid off 10% and getting really creative. I know a couple who has committed, this is a true story, who has committed to giving every year a percentage of their income equivalent to their age. So at 40 years old, they are giving away 40% of what they make, which is wild to me. And maybe, just maybe, generosity looks like being willing to be inconvenienced. Not planning in advance, but being stopped on your way between errands to buy a meal for someone who's looking for aid. Using your spare time to help refugees thousands of miles away navigate the complicated legal paperwork of entry into the US, like Kimberly shared a couple weeks ago. Or maybe it looks like a friend of mine who has chosen to be a renter for life, so that the money that they would have spent on a house, they can just give away. These are radical examples. What if that's what generosity looks like? And what if under all of these questions is a deeper one that asks, what if what God says is actually true? What if God has, does, and will give to you abundantly, so you will give to others abundantly. What if generosity was an act of faith in the gospel itself? So in the reader's version of the NIV, verse 13 gets translated this way. You have shown yourselves to be worthy by what you have given, so other people will praise God because you obey him. This proves that you really believe the good news about Christ. Because at the heart of the good news about Christ is a loving, generous, abundant God giving himself to broken, needy people. And we get to what my mom was talking about when she said, if you're paying attention, this passage is the gospel. Because we are, all of us, all of humanity, me and you, our ancestors, everyone we have ever known, we are broken and we are needy people. Our need is great. In each of our own ways, we've experienced this intimately. Our own sin and pain at the hands of a broken world. Some have suffered from unjust systems, have battled chronic illness, survived the worst of abuses, and perhaps you know that your need is far greater than you could ever meet on your own. That you need a rescuer, a liberator, a restorer, a healer. Or you faced your own sin in the mirror and you know your own propensity to lie, to manipulate, to dehumanize. You know your own capacity to cause others pain. And perhaps you know that your need is far greater than you can ever meet on your own. That you need a reconciler, someone to make you holy and righteous, a savior. And the good news, the very gospel, is this: that in the midst of your need, a need that you cannot and will not ever be able to meet, Jesus enters and offers life abundantly, generously. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. When we truly believe that God will give us all the grace that we need, that we will have all that we need at all times, we will have eyes to see the abundance we do have and how to share that generously. When we truly believe that God will give us all the grace that we need, that we will have all that we need at all times, we will be free from fear. We will know we are secure, and we will give our money away generously. When we truly believe that God will give us all the grace that we need, that we will have all that we need at all times, we will have a new imagination. We will be readily inconvenienced. We will give generously in ways we never imagined. We will participate in the reconciling, restoring, healing, liberating, saving work of the gospel. When we truly believe that God is able to make all grace abound to us, that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. So what will it look like? A generosity like that, first of all, is done in faith. Too often as believers, we get our equation a little wrong. We think that if we do the right things, like be really generous, give away our money, then we will please God and receive blessing. But as we have already seen in this passage, the blessing comes first. God gives us the candy. We get to eat the candy, we get to give away the candy, and then God is praised. God overflows an abundance of grace to us, and faithful generosity believes that's the starting place. And whenever we struggle with generosity or any other part of this calling to follow Jesus, we've got to come back here. We've got to come back to this passage, to this truth, as many times, as frequently as we ever need. Every day, every hour, to come back and pray, God, will you show me the truth of your abundant grace to me? Generosity based on that is done in faith. And second, it's done freely. It's done without strings. Paul quotes Psalm 112 verse 9, saying, "They have scattered freely their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever." Like Oprah giving away cars. Generosity just scatters freely. Generosity like this is, well, it's generous. It is abundant. It's not stingy. It's not focused on its own convenience. It doesn't stop at the budget limit, but is willing to change the budget when the need arises. And a generosity like this, it is frequent. Verse 11 says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion." I don't know about y'all, but this part gets me a little bit. Like once, okay, twice, okay, three times, all right, we're like changing things up now. Every occasion? But generosity that's done by faith is able to say yes on every time that someone asks, when a need is made known, because we believe in the abundance of God. And finally, this kind of generosity is done cheerfully. Each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. Paul wasn't trying to guilt trip the Corinthian church. "I'm not trying to twist your arm." But generosity done by faith in God's abundance is just full of joy, because we are free from lies, we're free from uncertainty, we're free to see abundance, and we're free to imagine greatly. So my mom, she told me this was her favorite verse, and I'm not gonna lie, this is not a surprise to me, because I see this all over her life. My mom's been generous, like, My entire life, I remember. Both of my parents were really generous, willing to give space in our home, food from our pantry to literally anyone who walked in the door. I remember my mom would like pick up a dozen donuts for the guys at Jiffy Lube when she went to go get an oil change. One Christmas, I remember my mom asking, "Hey, what are we willing to sacrifice to help our neighbors whose house had burned down?" And I kid you not, a week and a half ago, not 3 days after I asked her, "Hey, what's your favorite verse?" asking for a friend, I called her, she didn't answer, she called me back later, but it was like pretty late, it was like 10 o'clock at night, and she was in the car, and I'm like, "Ma, where are you going at 10 o'clock at night?" And she said, "Well, remember this elderly couple from our church that I grew up in? They're having a hard time. The wife had a stroke, and the husband is not doing great. His memory has been pretty rapidly deteriorating. And their neighbors called. He had some kind of episode, and they're wondering if someone can just stay the night there to be a presence." So my mom, at 10 o'clock at night, with a 6 a.m. wake up the next day for work, was driving over to take care of our friend Leo. And she would be the first to tell you that this is not because she's awesome, though if you've paid attention at all, she is most definitely awesome. But she would be the first to tell you it's because God is. God is the one who gave her the flexibility and the availability to be able to go over there, so why shouldn't she? This good news of a generous God who gives to us abundantly so we will give to others abundantly has shaped her life. And that makes me pause and ask, how will this good news shape my life when it comes to generosity especially? And how will it shape your life? How in faith will we give to others abundantly, freely, frequently, cheerfully? Because God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray. God, I pray that we would know the truth of your abundant grace for us. God, that we would not walk out of this church just trying really hard to be more generous, as if it's one more task to accomplish, but Lord, that we would know the truth of your abundance to us, how you have provided, how you have given your grace so freely to us and have invited us into sharing that with other people. God, that the generosity that we show others would flow out of that, because that is an unending source. God, I pray that we would encounter you and that through our generosity, others would too. We thank you for your word, for the truth in it. God, for your care, your love, your abundance toward us. And it is in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that we pray these things. Amen.